Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of 2 Peter and will be continuing today with part 2 of The Judgment Upon False Prophets. So let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. So you see, the church has had more than its fair share of false teachers, going back to apostolic times, and in each and every succeeding generation, there has been an abundance of false teaching that has infiltrated the church. So, there will be false teachers among you, he said, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. And so often this is the case. Person comes in and gains position in a ministry and appears to be sound, but yet there's something driving them. There's an ulterior motive. And once they get into a position of power, they begin to then seek to propagate that pet doctrine of theirs. We see this happening so often in the evangelical universities today. Men come in as professors and they bring in destructive heresies and they go to the point eventually of even denying the Lord who bought them. And we see that that has happened in the major Protestant denominations. They no longer believe in the deity of Christ. They no longer believe in the atoning death of Christ. They don't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. They don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ. They don't believe in the second coming of Christ, just as Peter predicted. And they will bring on themselves sudden destruction. But notice what he says in verse 2, and here's the tragedy. And many will follow their destructive ways. And isn't that the case? Many follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. And this is generally the case because of these false teachers, because of these men who have actually rejected the faith itself then is held in derision by the masses. And notice verse 3, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. The root of all of this is covetousness. The lust for power, the lust for riches. That is pretty much what is behind every heresy and has always been the case throughout all of church history. Men become covetous of power or of riches or of both. And they find that through their teaching, they're able to gain adherents who will elevate them and adore them and honor them and give them that position of authority. And most of the time, will finance them as well. And that has really been the driving force behind false teaching, riches and power. And that's what Peter says. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. Now, you know, the word exploit means to take financial advantage of you. Whenever you have a ministry or a person who claims to be a servant of God, a man of God, who spends an inordinate amount of time discussing financial things, you know that there's a problem there. So they exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle and their destruction does not slumber. Now, what Peter is going to tell us here about the destiny of these false teachers is frightening, to say the least. And so listen to what he says in verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed with the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So Peter's building his case of judgment against these men. He's saying, look, God judged the angels. He didn't spare them. God judged the ancient world at the time of Noah. God judged the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And likewise, God is going to judge these men as well. And so those who seem to be getting away with it aren't getting away with it at all. God is going to judge them. And that's what we have to rest in. Just as surely as God judged the angels, the ancient world, and Sodom and Gomorrah, God is going to also judge those who live ungodly, and particularly here in our context, the false teachers. And so in verse 10, he says, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. So this is a mark of the false teachers. They despise authority. They've obviously rejected the authority of God. They despise any authority that would stand up against them and oppose them in their false teaching. They despise authority. He says they are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Back in Zechariah's prophecy, we find there that Satan was resisting the work of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord, in response to Satan, said, "The Lord rebuke you." And Jude, which is very similar to this second chapter of 2 Peter, makes reference to that particular event, showing that even the great angel, Michael, did not take it upon himself to rebuke Satan, but he said, "The Lord rebuke you." So what he's describing here is just the arrogance of these false teachers. He's describing their arrogant attitude where they would speak evil of the dignitaries. And then he says concerning them, "But these, like natural brute beast, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you." So they're spots and blemishes in the body of Christ. They, again, are those that cause many on the outside to look in and to speak evil of the faith. So they are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin. And you know, the interesting thing is that it just seems that as time goes on, over and over again, we find that those who are taking financial advantage of people, those who are in those positions where they're wielding a lot of power, it's only a matter of time before we start to see that there are other things going on behind the scenes.
And we see the sexual immorality. As time goes on, we find that, oh, there's, you know, there it is. It's all connected. It all goes hand in hand because false teaching will always lead to bad living. You get the wrong doctrine, you start emphasizing the wrong things, and it's not going to be too long before your life is also wrong. It just goes that way. It's inevitable. It has to go that way. So they have eyes full of adultery. They cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. Listen to this. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. That is so frightening right there. A heart trained in covetous practices. We see that these people are not God's people. They're not God's servants. They're not men of God as they're represented, but quite the contrary, their hearts are trained in covetous practices. There's one guy, I think he's sort of lost popularity in the past few years, and this guy was the swindler of all swindlers. And the interesting thing about him is, in looking into his background and so forth, some of the reporters caught up with some of his old roommates from college, and they talked about how he had this televangelist act down back in college, and they would do this for fun. And at one point he decided to take it on the road. He was so good at it, he decided, why not, you know, make a living at it? And he made millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. He ended up getting busted by the IRS, I think. But we see there a heart trained in covetous practices. He had been working on this routine for years and years and years, and he perfected it. And he would get on the TV, you know, with the tears and, you know, oh, you know, and the people, and I need your money, and, you know, just a big scam, really. But that's where they're at. And he says they are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now, here we have a reference to Balaam. Balaam was a false prophet. And what was Balaam's weakness? It was greed. King Balak had offered him this position. He'd offered him power. He'd offered him wealth. And for a brief period of time, Balaam was sticking to his commitment to God, and he was refusing to yield to the temptation of Balak, but eventually he gave in to it. And that's what Peter says about these. They've gone astray following the way of Balaam. And then he tells us a bit about Balaam, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. So these guys are likened to Balaam. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, to whom the gloom of darkness is reserved forever. Boy, those are some frightening words right there. For whom the gloom of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through licentiousness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. So notice, they speak great swelling words of emptiness. The amazing thing about these guys is they sound really smooth, and they've got some great stories, and they can really spin a tale. Great swelling words, but great swelling words of emptiness. There's no substance to what they're saying. There's no truth in what they're saying. Now, the thing about a false prophet or a false teacher is that they will have an element of truth in what they're saying, and that's where people get tricked. They will take a truth, and they will use that as sort of a basis to start from, to get the ear of the listener, but it's not very long before they're going off in another direction, and they're building these fanciful things. And they're great swelling words. And sometimes you listen to these guys on television and, boy, they can go on and on telling stories. You know, this happened and that happened, and you know, and I was right up there in the presence of God, right before the throne of God, and Peter came forward and he said, "Man of God, what are you doing here? Go back to earth and proclaim my Lord's God." You know, all the crazy stuff, but you know, people are sitting there spellbound, captivated. You guys are great storytellers. Problem is, everything they're saying is bogus. It's not true. You could go on and on illustrating this. You know, I heard one guy one time, I was flipping around the stations, and here he is, you know, talking about raising people from the dead everywhere he went. And then I went over to Brother So-and-so's house, and he was dead. He was lying in his bed, he was dead. I walked in and said, "Brother, rise from the dead." He got up. I walked out, and he was eating breakfast, you know, and then I went down the road, and Sister So-and-so, well, I got there, she was dead. You know, I'm not making this up. I heard this story. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, I can't believe this guy's saying this, and I can't believe anybody's believing anything he's saying. But they're believing him because they're sending him millions of dollars. Great swelling words, but they're empty. There's no truth in that. So they lure, they offer. You can have this power too, brother. This can be yours for $1,000. You know, that's it. You send me $1,000. Send in your seed money. And so they're appealing to man's lower nature. They're appealing to the flesh. These guys would have done well back in the first century. You remember when they're in Acts chapter 8, when the Spirit of God came upon the Samaritans, and there was Simon the sorcerer who was there in that community. Peter and John had come and laid hands on them, and they received the Spirit, and Simon was right there saying, "How can I get that power? What can I pay you?" If he would have said it to one of these guys, they would have said, $50, seed faith, you know. But Peter said, "Your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God." See, that's what a true prophet says. These guys are putting this out, you know, whether it be power or you can be wealthy, you know, you're to be rich, you're a child of the king, you know, all of that sort of thing. And Jesus wore designer clothes, brother. Didn't you know that? You know, have you ever heard that rap? I mean, that is about as bogus a thing as you could ever hear. It's just ridiculous. And, you know, I heard this particular guy going on about the Jesus and the designer clothes and all of this. And, of course, he's heard about people like what I'm doing right now, you know, contradicting him or whatever. And, you know, we've pointed out Jesus said foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I heard this guy go off in this whole thing about, "Oh, brother, Jesus didn't, that wasn't the way he lived. It was just in that particular village. He was having a crusade." You know, he goes on to tell the whole story, and he got there, and, you know, there was no place to stay in town. The hotels were all booked up. So Jesus said, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, and the Son of Man doesn't have a hotel room tonight." You know, that's his explanation. That's his exegesis of the statement that was made about Jesus. So we better move on. Ones who have actually escaped. So they lure through the lust of the flesh, through licentious, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. You know, here's the sad thing. Their target is the young Christian, the new Christian, the person who hasn't had the opportunity to get established. Boy, they zero in right on them and try to take them and indoctrinate them in their false teaching. They allure those through the lust of the flesh who are just escaping the pollutions in the world. And how true that is. So many, they hear about the Lord and, you know, they're drawn to what they've heard, and then suddenly they're swept up in this thing and they're ruined. It ends up ruining them. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning.
For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. So this is their great judgment, is because they knew. It would have been better had they never known the holy commandment, but having known it and then turned away from it, this is what brings the tremendous condemnation on them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. And so here Peter gives a scathing warning to the false teachers. And he shows them that unless they repent, their destiny is the gloom of darkness forever. And yet, of course, that same destiny is going to be the destiny of all of those who reject Christ, whether they were a false teacher or not. Obviously, the false teacher is going to have a severe punishment, because to whom much is given, much is required. They knew more. They're accountable for more. But yet, the scripture is clear that all those who reject God's gift of salvation through Christ are going to end up in the same place, and that is in that place of judgment, in that place of darkness. But of course, that's never God's desire. It's not his plan or his will that anyone should end up in that state. Even the false teacher can still turn while there is time. And what a wonderful thing it would be to see some of these men really come to their senses and really repent. The sad thing is that they have been challenged. They have been publicly rebuked. They have been called to repentance. But unfortunately, the majority of them have dug their heels in, and they're holding firm their position. Very rarely do we see someone turn from that. Maybe there are a few. Maybe there are still a few in the future that will turn. Now, in this second chapter, there are a number of things that would probably be helpful for us to just, you know, sort of take them out of the context here and look at them. So perhaps we'll come back to this second chapter and look at it from just a slightly different angle. I just wanted to discuss the false teacher thing, but we can go back, and there's a great promise here that God gives for deliverance. And it's a promise that we look at and can actually apply to ourselves in regard to the judgment of God that's going to come upon the world in the future. And so that would be, I think, a good thing for us to spend some time talking about. And so we'll come back to that in our next study, and we'll look at the Lord knowing how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you that you have blessed us with sound teaching. And Lord, we thank you that we have been protected through your word from the false teachers that lurk about, from those that are always looking for that opportunity to fleece the flock. Lord, you've really guarded us from that. You've kept us. And we pray that you would continue to do that. And Lord, we pray for those who are caught up in this teaching and don't even know the difference between truth and error. Lord, we pray that you would bring them out. And we thank you that you are doing that, Lord. And they're turning away from teaching that's contrary to what you've said in your word. And we pray that you would just continue to bring people out of that. And Lord, for those who are in the position of leading people astray from your word, Lord, we just deliver them over to you. And we know that in your time you will deal with them. Lord, it would be a good thing to see them repent. And we know that that's always your first desire. And we pray that they would. Lord, that they would take seriously this solemn warning here in this chapter. Lord, keep us from going astray. Keep us, Lord, fixed upon you and upon your truth.
Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you, Lord, for the way you feed us on your truth. Continue to do that here, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll return with more of our study of 2 Peter in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part one of Contending for the Faith. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Judgment Upon False Prophets. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3058. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.